So you want to be a disciple. That is the topic we've been studying, and Chris Grillo has been in the studio with me the last couple of times, and he is going to be finishing up this Bible study for us, and I trust you indeed do want to be a disciple. So Chris, as we're looking at that question, it all begins and ends where?
With our relationship with God.
Mm.
And it's the essence of both discipleship and disciple-making. So it's been a fun few days talking about what Jesus expects us as his followers to be doing, and being busy. And I think knowing that when Jesus calls you, that not only is it going to be a tough road, but it's going to be a rewarding road.
Oh, definitely.
And I think a lot of times people are willing to put in some very hard work because they see the reward. Maybe it's with your job. Maybe it's with your schooling. They see the end prize. Football players
right.
are willing to beat each other up on the field
yeah.
for the paycheck.
Right.
right? So we ought to be willing as disciples of Christ to lay it out on the field for his paycheck.
Somebody said that a Christian's retirement benefit is out of this world.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. I believe it. So we have already learned that Jesus said, take up, carry your cross, and literally, take it up with the hands, put it on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
In verse 14 of Luke, it says, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be his disciple. We know what a cross was. It was a tool of torture and death. And so Jesus is saying, disciple, take up your instrument of punishment. The true followers of Christ must be ready and prepared to endure all types of miseries. Many who followed Jesus thought he was going to say, if any man come to me and be my disciple, he will have wealth and honor and abundance. But they soon found out that there was none of that happening.
Mm-hmm.
And he said multiple times in Matthew 16:24, he said, if anyone come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Matthew 10:38, anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me.
Wow.
Those are strong words.
Yes, it is.
So as we read in Luke, verse 34, it says, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill, but men throw it out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And this brings us to our final lesson in this series. How do we disciple? We see that Jesus expects his disciples to be salt. And you say, well, all right, I can do that. What exactly does that mean,
right.
salt?
Yeah.
Well, today you can't turn on the TV or the radio or see a commercial and not hear just how bad salt is for you. And so you ask, well, why would Jesus want us to be bad?
Mm-hmm.
But salt is not all bad. And in the case to which Jesus means, salt is used to preserve.
Right.
And when you look at all the other attributes of salt, you would see that salt, one, creates thirst. So who can sit down and watch the Packer game with a big bag of chips or a bowl of popcorn dusted with salt and not become in dire need of something to drink?
Very quickly.
Very quickly. As Christians, our lives should create in those who don't know Jesus a dire thirst. Thirst to know what we know, to have what we have. A thirst that only a relationship with Jesus can quench.
Amen.
And salt brings flavor to a tasteless world, brings flavor to the lives of those who feel this world has nothing to offer. It is bland and boring and thus meaningless and not worth living. Jesus brings flavor to the lives of those who are in misery and, mm-hmm. and despair and think there's nothing else there for them.
Right.
But he does not leave us to figure it out ourselves. We do have the resources needed to be a disciple. And first, we have the Word that instructs and guides. And Ephesians 4 reminds us again of the why, the how, and the who of discipleship. Ephesians 4, 11 through 12. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. And here it is, Pastor, to equip his people for works of service
right.
so that the body of Christ may be built up. He gave pastors and teachers to equip you. Us for service. So my question is, are you equipped?
That's a good question.
And what is your service?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And some people think, well, it's not my job to do the things of a disciple. That's why he gave apostles and prophets and evangelists. But wait a minute, you didn't read verse 12. He gave us those folks so that they will equip us.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be in his service.
Right, right.
So that's the why. So the how is Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love. We are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. And so how? Simply in love. Having love and compassion for those who may be hurting, who may not understand what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and doing it in such a way that people can feel the love of Christ through us.
Right. And speaking the truth at the same time.
And telling them the truth.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no
right.
better love for somebody than to tell them the truth.
Right.
You're only hindering those when you don't.
Exactly.
Right. And so that's the why, the how, and then the who. 4:21, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as the truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in the righteousness and holiness of the truth. Verse 25 says, therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another.
Mm-hmm.
Each one of you. And again, going back to the why we were created in good works in verse 12, it says his people. Each one of us.
Right.
It's not just certain people. It's not just those who feel they're talented enough to do it. Each one of us, because that's where our neighbors live, and we need to reach them. So John 14:15 says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments.
Mm-hmm.
And he's commanded us, each one of us, with his neighbor. So in Matthew 28, Jesus commands us to go. We talked a little bit about that last time. It's an imperative verb. Make disciples of all nations. And it says, every Christian is called to go into the world and make disciples. Now, I didn't say everyone is called to be a preacher. Not everyone is called to be a Paul or a Peter.
Right.
You might be behind the scenes person. You might be someone whom few people know about, but you are busy with the purpose of being a light with the mm-hmm. goal of leading others to the cross. And you do it for God's glory. I think of the person here with us today, Pastor, that does all of the audio configurations
exactly.
for this broadcast. He's such a person. You don't hear his voice, but his work is critical to God's mission and glory in spreading the gospel.
Exactly.
And so we are called to go and make disciples. And here's the problem. There are a lot of Christians today that have never done this. They have never even thought about this, much less made an effort to do it. And there can come a point in your life, in your Christian walk, where you think you don't need to go hear any more Bible studies. You're too old to be useful. You're too old to have a ministry. You're too old for this, or I'm too young for that. I put in my time. It's time for someone else to step up.
Mm-hmm.
Being in the disciple business does not come with a retirement plan.
Not a word.
The only retirement plan God offers his employees is the one when he calls you home.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm willing to guess that we would still be busy in heaven.
Oh, yes.
Yes. And ladies, if you're listening, and I know that the 12 disciples were all men, but if you're thinking being a disciple is man's work, then you haven't read Luke 8. It says in Luke 8, 2 and 3, also some women were with him, and they had been cured from evil spirits and various illnesses. These women were Mary, also called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out, Joanna, whose husband Chuso was Herod's administrator, Susanna, and many other women.
Right.
So Luke 8 refers to women who have evidently taken the drastic step of leaving home and family in order to share in the wandering ministry of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very radical, since women at that time were really closely bound to the family. That's where their lives should have been, in the home. So this was really outside the social expectations and norms back then. And they were not afraid to be seen at the foot of the cross, even though it might have meant death.
Very dangerous place to be.
Very dangerous place. And we're told in 2 Timothy 2 a few characteristics. Not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone. Be able to teach and be patient with difficult people.
Mm-hmm.
Gently instruct those who oppose truth. The Lord speaks to believers so that they will comprehend the truth, conform to the truth, and communicate the truth. And doing his will must be our first priority. You know, some people think, well, I don't have the ability to do that. I can't communicate the gospel to people. Well, Luke gave us the framework for that. He made it very simple. Luke tells us that, one, he investigated the writings of others, and two, he wrote it down and passed it on. That's it.
Right.
If you can do that, you can be a disciple of Jesus. So discipleship requires a lot of things, but there's two things that I think are real important. Participation. And I ask folks, are you a participant or are you a spectator? Remember, you share the sacred partnership with Christ and your fellow Christians in the advancement of the gospel, just as the Philippians shared a partnership with Paul. So you can be a spectator, but there's no rewards for that. There's no medals. There's no prizes for that. No one shouts your name or wants your autograph, including Jesus. You need to be a participant. You need to be out on the field, not in the stands.
And there are so many things going on in your local church where you could be serving. You could be doing something to help the cause of Christ.
Absolutely.
Right.
Get in the game.
Right.
And not just watch others play. So participation, and then the next is priority. In Luke 10, we read about Martha and Mary and how Martha, she was worried about so many things and cooking and preparing, and Mary was more interested in hearing and reading and listening to the Lord. So Mary's priority was correct.
Right.
Martha was busy, but her priorities were not correct.
Mm-hmm.
So what was Martha's attitude towards her sister? Resentment? Bitterness, maybe, I don't
maybe.
Know.
Yeah.
What does Jesus' words to Martha say about where our ultimate interest should lie? Given the chance to learn from the master or make cookies, we need to learn from the master.
Exactly.
So remember, discipleship means learner. So this was a lesson in priorities for Martha and all of the disciples.
Mm-hmm.
Baking cookies for a church picnic is great, but that's not discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the work God has called us to do. Jesus said, if your idea of following me is baking cookies, just turn around and go home.
Mm-hmm.
But there needs to be balance, a hearer and a doer. It is good to be a student, but exercise your education. Don't bottle it up. Don't bottle up what you've learned. Jesus did not save us to sit. So being a hearer, you give attention to Jesus' words, and being a doer, you are going out and helping others understand what it means to be a disciple, to listen and learn from Jesus. But it all comes down to balance.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe that? Are you willing to live it? Have you lived it? How have you lived it?
And those are priorities. And so as we consider the purpose that God has given us to encourage and rebuke others, that's a discipleship process that goes on and on and on. And of course, the end result is change, for our lives to change, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Because learning is change. Friends, I trust that what you've heard will just be a catalyst to cause your life to change for God, for good. God bless you.